Welcome to Ray and Tay. Today
it's Friday. Monday. Ho! Hey.
Hello, and welcome to the show. I don't know if you're in a snowy part of the country or in a sunny part of the country, but wherever you are, we're going to warm you up with an hour of sports. So you're listening to Ray and Tay today, as young William let us know, and I'm Ray, Tall Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor. Give us a call, join us, like Ray said, and you know what? It's okay to be cold because sports keep you warm and get you hype, and there's nothing like football in the snow. So we'll talk about it all. 718-664-9098. You want to jump on the horn with us and talk some sports? Like always, you can hit us up at rayandtaytoday@gmail.com, the website rayandtaytoday.com, Facebook and Twitter. We love to get interactive with you. Love your tweets, your emails, everything. So, you know, keep tweeting at us at Ray and Tay today. And, Ray, let them know it's a busy show where we touch on a lot of things.
Oh, wow. We got a lot to talk about. So first, as we usually do, we'll take you around the world of sports with some breaking news. There's been some breaking news today, so we'll bring it to you. And then we're going to run through some sports. So we've got college basketball, a top 25 that was just released. We'll touch on that because, you know, after the new year, we're going to have to get into some college hoops. We're going to have to bring our boy Seth Davis back. We might have to bring you some college hoop guests. But we'll touch on that top 25. We'll also get into a review of what happened this weekend in college football leading up to the bowl, essentially the bowl month. So for the next 4 weeks, we'll be talking college football bowl schedule.
BCS, baby.
BCS, exactly. Quick touch on baseball. We'll get to that actually in the breaking news. And then we'll end the show, as we usually do this time of year, with some serious football talk. We'll talk about NFL Week 14.
14. Oof.
We will talk about what happened on Sunday in all the snow. The most touchdowns scored, the highest scoring Sunday in 90. NFL history.
Yeah.
We'll talk also about the game tonight. We've got a game, Chicago hosting the Cowboys. We'll give you our thoughts on that and just a summary and recap of what's going on. Some great, great performances and some pretty awful performances, too, this past weekend.
Mm-hmm.
We got a lot to get into.
And let them know. We'll give them a little bit on that Chargers-Broncos game for Thursday, too. We'll give them a little preview, a little prediction.
Yeah, we'll talk to you a little bit about that as well. Can't even think about that. That's week 15.
Can you imagine? It's crazy. Anyway, so hit me up, man. We got some coaches going to the Hall of Fame and a player that's retiring. Tell our audience what is going on. MLB, winter meetings, hot stove, and baseball news.
So not a lot of trades yet and not a lot of signings, which is fine because that means the spotlight went to, and this is just fantastic, that the Veterans Committee, I guess they met on Sunday ahead of the winter meetings, and they put in three Hall of Fame managers who are numbers 3, 4, and 5 in the league in all-time wins. So you've got
all
Tony La Russa, Bobby Cox, and Joe Torre all making the Hall of Fame. So that's pretty amazing. La Russa's got, what, three?
Right, and La Russa, we got to just mention, though,
Cox
too.
Cox has
La Russa,
one, and Torre has four.
Right, La Russa, Cardinals and A's, you know, where he got most of his W's. Cox with the Braves, and Joe Torre, Braves, Yankees, and Mets. Most of his victories. So that's pretty awesome, man. And for them going in together, because guess what? They all competed against one another. You got to like that.
Yeah, between them, they have, what, 7, 8 World Series. So They've each won something like 2,000 and some odd games. So between them, they have maybe 6,500 wins and 8 World Series victories. That's pretty amazing.
And don't forget, well, you know, hey, and they're all class guys. When you think of them, you think of just baseball, basically. They're all great managers. You know, they played big ball, small ball, worked their pitching staffs. I think they were all great. I mean, obviously, we know about Torrey as a player as well. But I think what's fascinating is that they're going in together. So it makes a great – this is where baseball gets it right, where I was upset about Yasiel Puig not being at the All-Star game. Well, today, baseball, I can applaud them. They did something positive. And then how do you like Doc Holliday at age 36? Roy Holliday retires, one-day contract with the Blue Jays, over 200 victories. Ray, a lot of people are saying it. What do you think? He's probably a Hall of Famer just with his postseason record alone.
In his first postseason game, he pitches a no-hitter.
Yeah.
This guy was dominant. See, the thing is, here's my thing, and no disrespect to all you Dodgers or California Angels fans out there. Don Sutton, right, is a 300-game winner, makes the Hall of Fame basically because he won 15 games a year for 20 years.
Yeah.
So he was a very, very
good player for a while.
Player for a long time. And then there's the other side of that, which is a guy like Pedro Martinez, who was an excellent player for
the best pitcher.
I don't know the number offhand, but let's say, 10, 12 years.
13.
And 13, is that right?
I have to double check, but
we'll double check on that. But the point is that you've got to meet to, and Kirby Puckett, let's say, falls into that as well.
Greatness.
You've got to be great over an extended period of time. I get it. But you have to have been great at some point. So Roy Halladay was great. And in his career, he was unhittable for 4 or 5 years. So to me, even though he only won 203 games, but he was 203 and 105, right? So he's got
a huge gap.
Two-thirds of his games he won. A 338 ERA when he pitched most of his career in the American League.
Not only in the American League East,
facing, and especially
amazing.
With the uneven schedule, 18 or 19 times a year, he's facing Boston and the Yankees up in Toronto in a hitter-friendly park, and then going to the Yankees and going to Fenway. So
and carried
and
the Blue Jays
Baltimore
for years.
Too.
He carried the team
for years.
You got to give him
so
that.
So to me, you know, he didn't hit 300 wins. I get it,
but
this
okay.
guy has 67 complete games, 20 shutouts. To me, Doc Holliday's a Hall of Famer. So good for him.
Yeah. We applaud him. Let's talk about some potential Hall of Famers that are injured. And before we do NFL talk, let's talk about these injuries. Gronk, out for the season. ACL, tearing the knee. The hit was, look, this is unfortunate, right? Because players are going to have these injuries because you can't hit up high or the head. Well, look, nobody's trying to be headhunters. I think, you know, professional football players don't want to hurt one another, and these guys hate having to go low now for the legs because everyone knows this is what's going to happen. He's out. Wes Welker, concussion. AP, thank goodness the foot, you know, the MRI was negative. He actually could play next week, but they know they're, 3-10-1. There's no need for him to play, so they might sit him out. And then you have the young, probably NFC Defensive Rookie of the Year, Tyrann Mathieu from LSU, the Honey Badger, who's having just an amazing season, leading in tackles for rookies at the cornerback and special teams. What did he do, the MCL and the LCL? I mean, they're saying he probably won't make training camp, and you got to believe Gronk is a slow healer, so he won't make training camp. It's a sad day. I mean, you hate to see, any player but star players. I mean, we also had, I think somebody on the Panthers got hurt last night. There's another player. I miss who it was. Another player has an MCL. So, you know, these injuries, and obviously this is Welker's second concussion in a month. So he's probably not going to be cleared to play Thursday night for fantasy playoff people and for the Thursday Bronco-Charger game.
Man,
so what do you think about Gronk real quick?
I'm out of all of my fantasy leagues, so I can't
even talk about that.
You
can't
even
talk
fantasy.
About it.
That's a bad word this year.
It's a bad word. Well, it's okay because we're gonna pretty soon we'll be focused on the college hoops, so we'll have fun with that and then the March Madness brackets and all that. But just the college basketball season is going to be exciting. But let me just ask you this real quick. Well, you know what? We'll save it for the football. Let's go to college hoops. So let's talk about it. Congrats to Arizona. They're number one. 63 votes.
By the time
votes.
I get to Arizona.
Yo, Arizona sports are really doing it big. From ASU to Arizona, both making bowl games, having, you know, good football seasons. Phoenix Suns, the Coyotes, these teams on the rise. Well, college hoops, Sean Miller has got quite a program, ladies and gentlemen. And at 9-0, they're number one in the country. Syracuse, with two votes, is number two. And then just looking at, you know, Ohio State, 8-0, is number three. 10-0, Wisconsin, who did good in the Big Ten ACC championship, is four. And then you got your one-loss teams going down from five on with Michigan. Michigan State at number five, Louisville six. What do you think about, I guess, early on, you know, you still got your boy Marcus Smart at seven, you know, the top ten, Duke eight, nine, Connecticut. Is Shabazz Napier the surprise of the early season, just how he's leading UConn and their new players and Villanova at 10? What do you think about UConn 9-0?
That's our boy, Kevin Ollie. Right?
I know.
He's doing his thing, 14 years in the NBA, and then he goes back to coaching and basically gets handed the job on a platter by his mentor, yeah. Jimmy Calhoun.
A legend.
Retires in September, so he basically forces them to hire Kevin Ollie. I thought that was a great move.
That was great.
Shabazz is great. I think he's a very solid, you know, college player. And I love this top 25, because look at these names, right? Arizona, you talked about they're balling in Arizona. Syracuse,
yeah.
Quiet as kept. Shh, they don't play anybody, right? They beat Binghamton 93-65. They did beat Indiana last week, and they play St. John's coming up, so they really don't play anybody. But here's what I'm talking about. Talk about the Big Ten in football. And by the way, they have more than 10 teams, but don't get me started on that. But the Big Ten. They have Ohio State number three in basketball, number seven in football. Wisconsin has two top 10 teams. Michigan State is in the final polls, is four in football and is five in basketball. So
no.
Big Ten.
To be a student right now at those schools.
Wow. It's just fantastic. How fun is that? But, yeah, so it's interesting, too, that you've got the two-loss teams who were preseason top five. You got Duke at eight and Kentucky at 11. And the common thread with both of those teams is youth. And Kentucky lost to Baylor over the weekend. So
yeah, Baylor was a big win.
Yeah, Isaiah Austin, keep an eye out for him. But
what a
Duke
stud.
And Kentucky, I want to see those two teams later on during the year. Right now, people, this is the time to – oh, and Kansas, I suppose, too, at 6-2. This is the time to beat up on these teams, because I got to figure that later on, after they grind their teeth a little
when
bit through their
conference
schedules and figure it out, the talent on those three teams is pretty phenomenal.
Hey, you know what? Don't forget about Missouri. Even though they lost in football, we'll get into the SEC championship. They're also in the top 25 in basketball at number 24. And, you know, we got to love our coach who over there is coaching at San Diego State, who's number 25 because, you know, took Michigan to the Final Four. Yeah, you got to like Fisher, man.
He said we want a Michigan man coaching Michigan. For those that are too young, look it up. In 1989, Steve Fisher took the job to coach Alpaite now at Arizona State, and he did it while the regular season was still going on. And then Steve Fisher – sorry, it wasn't 89. It was the It was 89. Yeah, it was 1989. Glenn Rice, Ramil Robinson.
Ramil Robinson.
So they go, and Bo Schembechler – who was the old football coach and then the AD, gets wind of that and says, you know what, You want that job at Arizona State? That's fine. You're gone immediately. I want a Michigan man coaching Michigan basketball. And Steve Fisher went there, and with the with his team, Ramil Robinson and Glenn Rice and the
Terry
crew,
Mills.
Terry Mills, Loy Voigt, they go out and win themselves a national championship, beating Seton Hall
and PJ,
PJ Carlissimo, and Gerald Green in the backcourt, and Morton and Green in that backcourt. So, yeah, that was a great year, 89.
Ramos up top. Hey, also, let's give some props to our Tar Heels at number 18. They've, 6-2. But out of those six wins, they've beaten some top teams, even in the, taking out Michigan State. So that's kind of cool.
In Louisville, but then they lose the 2-1 ranked team. So it's schizophrenia down there in Chapel Hill.
Well, let's hope they get their guys back. We still need to get, but Paige is looking good, and it's exciting.
Well, keep in mind, play Kentucky this week.
Yeah, I think Kentucky will probably beat them, but you never know because of the Tar Heel, experience. Kentucky is still sort of young and figuring things out with Julius Randle and the guys. And I'll just say this, and this is the perfect segue. It is going to be an amazing NBA draft this season. I mean, amazing. And, bringing that up, I got to talk about, first off, MSG. The Knicks win two in a row, beat Brooklyn,
woo-hoo!
Have a very strong win at home against Orlando, and then Sunday at noon, nobody's watching, football's getting ready to come on, people are out for brunch, whatever your situation is, and the Knicks lose, was it 114-73? Did your eyes deceive you? Was it a misprint? Did you really see that effort?
I got glasses, and
I can't believe what I saw. But I want to ask you, at 5-14, the worst record in the Atlantic, and pretty much the worst record, in the East, what happened or what's happening? I mean, Raymond Felton came out and said, look, we're turning it around. Don't worry about Sunday. Well, Boston, after beating Denver and then the Knicks, guess what? They're hot and they're, still under 500. They're in first place, 10-12 in the Atlantic Division. And then, you look at a team like Toronto, 7-12. They, know they're not going anywhere. And then they make a trade. They trade Rudy Gay again. And they get Vasquez and some of the guys from Sacramento. Both of these players have been traded in the last, less than a year, twice. What do you think Yuri Masai, who wants to build that team up, do you think maybe he's doing the right thing, that Rudy Gay might not be the answer, that they want to focus on Jonas Valanciunas, and they're saying they might trade Lowry next? Do you like the move, 4-for-3, but Rudy Gay going to the Kings? What are your thoughts about both these teams and the trade?
Well, Rudy Gay's contract is a bit of an albatross. So they got rid of him in Memphis because of his contract. They tried him out in Toronto for a little bit, and now they eventually got rid of him because of his contract.
Yeah.
I have a bad
and a new GM
feeling.
Wants to go
yeah, I have a bad feeling about Rudy Gay that he is going to be one of these guys that always gives you 18 to 20 a game, but will always
he's not
find
a winning
himself
player.
On a losing team. And partially it's not his fault, and partially it's working within the salary cap environment that he works in. So I'm a little bit worried about that team in Sacramento and, the chemistry that these guys have, because they've got a bunch of guys who want the ball, and I'm not sure there's enough basketballs to go around between
the
Marcus Cousins.
Tell the listeners. Wait, you're cleaning it up, Ray. Tell the listeners what you said off air. A bunch of knuckleheads. Keep it
bunch
real.
Of knuckleheads.
Don't be faking on a Monday.
5-13,
the Kings.
The ball, but everybody wants the ball. And who are the glue players? Who are the players that make people better? I mean, their point guard – Isaiah Thomas is really good, but I don't know
very talented,
that he's
yeah.
that he's very uplifting. That's why I kind of like Greivis Vázquez on that team.
Yeah,
and then
Greivis
Ben McLemore, my guy, who I think long-term is going to be a very good player. Again, he's a shoot first. He's a shooting guard, right? But he's a shoot first guy. Rudy Gay is an offensive, you know, juggernaut. And DeMarcus Cousins is fantastic as well. But I don't think that's a sum of the team, sum of the parts kind of team. I mean,
right.
One plus one.
And then they're
plus
saying
one
they might
one
trade
equals
Jason Thompson. Because also in the trade came, Quincy Acey and
yep.
Aaron Gray. So some, you know, more size. There's not much to talk about with them. Let's talk about Kobayashi, Kobias. The number 24 is back. They're 10-10. They lost to Toronto last night, the Lakers. I think strategically it's smart for Kobe to come back, get his feet wet a couple of games before the Lakers face off against LeBron James and the Heat Christmas Day, where he really wants to be able to show the national audience how he's doing. I mean, last night, I got to say, DeRozan, who's now sort of the franchise leader in Toronto, kind of punched his shot a couple times. One thing I do like about DeMar DeRozan, I'll say this, Ray, and maybe Masai, the GM in Toronto, is going to build the team the right way. And maybe they'll get Wiggins or Randall, one of these young players. I think DeRozan is a two-way player, and his offensive game is getting better. But he plays defense, and you know, Kobe's injured or whatever, coming back. But he punched the shot. But I'll say this: he does play defense. So, the Lakers and Kobe, it's the chapter's not written yet. But it's going to be hard for the Lakers to make the playoffs, wouldn't you say? If you got Golden State right now
that,
at 8,
yeah, that,
at 12
that
and 9.
That West is brutal. And people look at Kobe's game, and he had 9 points. He was 2 for 9 from the field, 8 turnovers. Don't worry, folks. Kobe's going to reinvent himself just like Jordan did when he was, 30 pounds heavier and was playing in Washington. Kobe will be fine. I mean, he won't be the Kobe of last year scoring 27 a game. But
right. He might play more point guard, you think,
He might be facilitating, but, Steve Nash will come back eventually. So I don't worry about Kobe. I'm just thinking that West is so brutal that I don't know that I look at their roster and I don't know that they can compete, for that 7 or 8 spot like they did last year where they made that miraculous comeback and ended up finishing seventh. So my thought with all of our L.A. fans is don't worry. Kobe will be as good as his Achilles will let him be. Next season he'll be fine. He won't come back to what he was last year, but he'll be at 85-90% next year. He's probably going to play at 70% this year, but 70% of the old Kobe is still better than 95% of the league. So I'm not sure you're making the playoffs this year if you're the Lakers, but give Kobe time to ease back in. Don't panic.
And I guess we got to continue to salute the Blazers at 17-4, who are ripping things up. OKC, a tough victory over the Pacers on Sunday, number 3 seed at 15-4. NBA, like you said, I mean, look, it's only, 21 games in. Most teams have played about anywhere from 19 to 22 games. So, things are, just sort of like a quarter way through the season, right, 82-game season. So they're, nothing's permanent or set. There's still some teams that, they could start to fall to the wayside, and there's some teams that could still rise. I got to like the Phoenix Suns, though, 11-9, and they're still playing hard and balling. What do you think about Harden and what the Rockets are doing? He's been playing great lately. They're 15-7, and it seems like they're starting to figure some things out for the Houston Rockets.
I like the Rockets a lot. I think that they'll be one of those top five teams in the West. They've got inside, outside, and they have role players, right? People know their roles, and I like Parsons as a role player. I like Beverly and Lynn as role players. And to have two stars in, James Harden and the big fella, Dwight Howard, whose games are completely different, I like that. I like the fact that, they don't compete with each other. And I feel like Harden is, a little soft-spoken, but he's an intense dude. I mean, this guy's leadership is a little different from most, so I don't know if he's you know, in that megastar category, but this guy is as good as it gets. I mean, we all thought from Oklahoma City's perspective, we said, wow, they got to sign Serge Ibaka and they've got to do some things and get some big men. And the kid from Pitt is turning out to be a nice Adams and turning out to be a heck of an acquisition.
He's playing great.
Right?
Yeah.
But we thought that Kevin Martin, who actually is doing great now in Minnesota, but we thought the loss of Harden wouldn't be too bad. Well, you know what? They gave up a superstar in Harden, and maybe he's not a megastar, but he's not Kobe, LeBron, but this guy is that next half level down. This guy's fantastic, and you know what? He can take that team places. I think he had a bad finals a couple years ago, but ultimately this guy can play. And he, remember, he's young. He was only, 22 in those finals, 22, 23 in those finals, so he's still a young guy. I like the Rockets. I really do. I think, again, unfortunately for them, they play in the West, but that team is great. I mean, I think they're a team to be reckoned with.
Definitely. So you know what? Let's keep it moving. Let's take a quick break, and then let's get to some football. We'll do some college and then the NFL. We'll be right back. Ray and Tay.
We're back. Ray and Tay talking pigskin. So, Tay, let's get into it. Let's jump right into Saturday. Tell me where you were. Tell me how you felt. Tell me your immediate feelings on Saturday night when the national championship picture took
I'll tell
shape.
You this. De La Soul, from the soul, black medallions, no gold. Straight up and down, De La Soul, if you don't know, I think it's Dave, plug to Mason, his son, Trey Mason, is the star running back who now could get a lot of Heisman votes, put up 303 yards, and led Alabama to a 42 win over Missouri. And I did say this on the show that I thought Auburn and Florida State would be in the chip, and I should have just been bold enough like I was to pick ASU, which didn't work out, to also pick Michigan State, because I said a close game, but you know what? Michigan State did it. So, number one, Auburn was too much. They really, I thought the energy would, you know, we both sort of thought that it might be hard for them to bounce back. Not a problem. Marshall, Mason, the defense, the offensive line, they're amazing. And so now, you know, Florida State and Winston did his thing against Duke. And so we've got the championship, Florida State against
Auburn.
Well,
hold on. Let me cut you off. The six Heisman Trophy finalists were just named. So hitting the wire
now. We talked about this off air.
We did. Okay. And
I said, I don't know
you
if they'll
were
pick
right.
six.
You were right.
Yes.
Four quarterbacks and two running backs. So six finalists. Jordan Lynch of Northern Illinois. Johnny Manziel, a.k.a. Manzizi, of Texas A&M, the defending Heisman Trophy winner. A.J. McCarron of Alabama.
I told you that 3 weeks ago.
And Winston, the favorite, of Florida State. And good for the Heisman Committee for adding Auburn's Trey Mason and Boston College's Andre Williams.
There you go, baby. That's great. You got it right.
What's interesting is up until, 4 years ago, no, 5 years ago, I guess, a sophomore hadn't won the Heisman Trophy, right? And then you get Sam Bradford and you have obviously our boy at Florida, Tebow. And then you've got... Now you've got probably a freshman again going to win it in Jameis Winston. Now, granted, he's a redshirt freshman, but how quickly has even college football changed that it's more than likely that the second straight freshman, Johnny Manziel last year and Jameis Winston this year, are going to win it? But
I think it's great. And what did he have? 7 games of over 300 yards passing, and he played big in the big games. You know, he struggled a little bit against Clemson in the first half, but still put up 300 and change, you know, to beat them. So, I salute them, and I think the Heisman Committee got it so right. I think the voters are going to get it right. And Trey Mason, he's deserving to be there and led this Auburn team, you know, with two back-to-back dominating games over Alabama and over Missouri, two very good defenses. And this guy, you know, I don't know his final stats. I forgot to check that out. But he's probably got, what, 1,300 yards at least? I mean,
Trey Mason ran for 1,600 yards.
Woo!
And see? 22 touchdowns.
22 touchdowns, yep. That
now,
is,
now, granted, he gets it's a little unfair, right, because he gets to play in the SEC championship game, so he gets 300 more yards and 4 more touchdowns.
Right, that's why I was there
total
with the 1,300, right, exactly.
Right, whereas a guy like Williams from BC runs for 2,100 yards and had one, you know, obviously one fewer game because he didn't play in the, you know, in his conference championship.
Right. So, I mean, you know, I guess who do you think is going to win it? Is it just Winston?
Yeah, I got to think so. His team is undefeated. He's by far the leader of that team. He's thrown for 3,800 yards and 38 touchdowns, leading his
dominating
team, the only undefeated team, or the only major undefeated team in college football. Yeah, I got to think Winston runs away with this.
I guess the better question is, then how do you put 2 through 6? Who's second and third? That's what's fascinating.
I think Manziel, last couple games, hurt him. Jordan Lynch is on the upswing, but I think he'll get a discount because of his Northern Illinois you know, competition. So I think probably A.J. McCarron comes in number 2, and maybe
a surprise Mason at 3?
Maybe one of the running backs, and then probably
Manziel. I think Mason will be over Williams. I think the last 2 weeks will put Mason over Williams. I'll say that.
Hopefully the
and
voters
I think Manziel
waited
will
to
be
see that,
third
though
or fourth. Huh?
Hopefully the voters waited. I said hopefully the voters waited to see that because, you know, some voters probably put in their put in their ballots specifically because of that, saying, wait a minute, you know, how many teams get to play in conference championships? What, 10 teams, 12 teams?
And maybe that favors McCarron and Manziel to be higher. And, you know, maybe
Williams,
Mason,
potentially.
Yeah, maybe Mason just comes in 5th or 6th. We'll see. It'll be fascinating. And, you know, you never know. We could be shocked, and there could be a backlash that some people just refuse to vote for Winston just for being affiliated with these potential Chargers, right? So you don't know. Let me ask you this. Just looking at the BCS and some of these matchups, I mean, obviously, Michigan State, Stanford, two great defenses. You know, the Rose Bowl should be amazing, and we'll definitely have a college bowl preview. But are you really what's the game, obviously, besides the championship? We always talk about that. For me, I got to say, I'm dying to see Clemson against Ohio State. It could
really
be a big statement for the ACC. Well, I think it could be a big statement for the ACC, who now is bringing in, losing Maryland, right, but bringing in next year Syracuse and Pitt and then Notre Dame for, like, what, 6 or 7 games. This conference and then Syracuse, you know, for football next year, this can be a whole new light on the ACC being maybe considered a top 4, you know, football conference.
You know what I like?
So,
real quick, because we got a caller. We'll pull the caller in. But I like the Cotton Bowl. I like this game on Fox, Oklahoma State against Missouri.
Yes.
Arlington,
explosive.
Texas. Yes.
Could be 100
Jerry's
points.
World. So, yeah, I think that should be a great game. And if you haven't seen Oklahoma State, they can play. And had they not lost to
Oklahoma
on a last drive,
that
would
got that wrong, yeah.
Interesting, interesting. So, wait, we got a caller. Let's pull in the caller.
Bring him in.
Hello, caller. You're on the air with Ray and Tay.
Ray and Tay, how you guys doing today?
How are you?
Oh, yeah, I'm doing marvelous.
What's your name and where are you calling from?
Name's Andre. I'm calling from California.
Hey, Andre,
what's up?
What's on your mind?
I don't know, man. I'm talking about the bowl games that are coming up. You got some guaranteed winners?
Guaranteed winners. We'll make our picks later, but I'll tell you one thing. I got one thing excited for you. I'll go with my alum. The Maryland Terrapins are going to beat Marshall. And I'll take Rutgers for the upset against Notre Dame in the New Era Pinstripe Bowl. How about that?
Woo!
All
you know
right.
What I'm
who's
the money
your
on?
Team?
I don't have a team, man. I just bet on the games. That's
okay.
It.
You're, you're a free agent.
Yeah. Well, I'm
so put your money on Bama over Oklahoma. How about that one? Okay, put Bama over Oklahoma. I don't care what the spread is. Alabama's upset and getting ready for their recruits, and next season they will embarrass Oklahoma on a neutral field. Guarantee you that one. How about that?
You know what game I like and I'm looking at?
Okay.
Here's the ultimate upset. Colorado State against Washington State. I like this game. The odds makers got Washington State favored by 4.5. So the public is kind of, you know, pumping the line up. But one thing you got to really look at is that, you know, Washington State has surrendered 28.3 points a game on the average. You know, and that's a lot. I mean, let me get back. Colorado State has only given up 28, and then Washington State has given up 31. So the lawmakers are thinking that Washington State's going to pull this win. Colorado State's got an excellent run game. I actually like probably to pull the upset, but I'm going to take the points on this game. I'm going to probably wait a couple more days, let the line maybe get a little higher, and then jump on the points just for that security.
Okay, well, let me ask you this while we got you on the line.
Too, kicking off the schedule.
Well, let me ask you this while we got you on the line. Who do you like in the championship? Florida State against Auburn, the biggest, for it all, for the Crystal Trophy.
That game, you don't say. I like Auburn here.
Okay.
But the Auburn is a big underdog. But the Auburn, has proved to show that they are a champion team.
It's about an
8-point
line, right?
It's 8. I think it's higher, isn't it? Did the lines move on that one? Let me look at the lines real quick. I don't know if I want to bet on this game because it can go either both ways. That's kind of a risky one.
That's a risky one. It definitely is.
Well, look at Florida State. Everybody who plays them ends up losing. And it's always these big blowouts.
Well, it comes down to
the
run, right? Auburn is one of those teams where you know what they're going to do, so you've got, a month to prepare for stopping Mason and Marshall. So if you can stop the run, then you can blow out Auburn. But if you can't, then they're going to possess the ball, and it's going to be a tough night. So Florida State, start hitting those tackling drills, you know.
You know
what's coming with Auburn. No deception there.
You know, that's the key thing. You know, when you look at the run game, Auburn's run game is just freaking awesome. But can Florida State stop them? They stopped everybody. And you know, these coaches are going to be watching those films. So, I think it might even be a little story.
I'll say this. Florida State has got a very, very strong defense. And the problem that Auburn has, and you saw it against Missouri's bigger receivers, their secondary in Auburn is not so great, and Florida State with Benjamin and some of their talent and even, you know, Williams and Freeman in the backfield, Florida State, they've got some talent, man. They've definitely got some talent. So, but, hey, listen, you know, we'll have our bowl preview, and, you know, we might even get Charles Davis back on. He did our college football preview with us from Fox. And, you know, keep listening, and we appreciate your call, okay?
Yeah, check me out on Extreme Sports Picks, Extreme with the Knee, or go into your Google or Apple app and type in Sports Winning Info, download our app. We got all our picks in place on all the best handicappers down in Vegas.
All right, great,
definitely
Andre.
Will,
appreciate
man.
The call.
All right, man. This is Andre Ramirez. You guys have a wonderful day.
All right, you too.
All right, you too, man. Thanks
all
for calling. Keep on listening.
Take care. Thank you.
All right, bye. Wow, that's great. And, you know, that's what it's about, man. People from everywhere get excited about college football. And it's going to be fun. But you know what? Let's keep it moving because we got a long wait for these college football games. But right now, we got a couple hours for Monday Night Football and to talk the NFL. Yesterday, Ray, was, like you said, a record-setting day. Prater, you can say what you want, you know, mile high. He kicked a 64-yard field goal. I give him props and credit. Great kick. He breaks a record. Then what you said, in the snow and this and that, everybody's thinking, oh, they'll just run the ball, won't be too much scoring. Well, there were points all over. 90 touchdowns yesterday, an NFL record. I think the Ravens-Viking game was exciting. The Eagles-Lions.
First of all, hold on. The Ravens-Viking games, do you know how ridiculous the scoring in that game was?
I trust me, I know, because as I'm rooting for my Steelers to beat the Dolphins and how the Dolphins wind up coming back and scoring and taking the lead, I'm watching Jacoby Jones run the kickoff back. I'm watching Cordarrelle Patterson get his score. Then I'm watching Joe Flacco drive down the field in like 3 seconds. It was an amazing game.
Five touchdowns in 2 minutes and 1 second. They scored five times back to back to back to back to back in just slightly over 2 minutes. The first time that's been done in almost 60 years. And it was in the snow, which you thought, oh, it's going to
– wait.
I think they went in, what, 12-9 or 12-7 into the last 2 minutes?
And that game was probably
36 points.
The worst snow, that and the Philly game. Yeah, those were the two worst. I mean, look, in the bad weather, you know, you had Kansas City smoke the Redskins and all their controversy. I don't even want to really get into it, but – the one thing that I did love is just when you're watching it, it reminds you of when we used to play tackle football in the snow. Shout out to all the fellas that used to play at Central Park, from Jeffrey Ryan to Smokey Fontaine, you know, Robbie Weinheimer, Parag Shaw, Brian Jones, all of our friends when we were playing football. We loved the Mims brothers playing tackle football in the snow. Peter Skolnick, Chris Bengus, we had tons of fun. And watching the Patriots and Browns and watching the Steelers, the Ravens, the Eagles-Lions game, I mean, you know, we talk about our segment champs and chumps, and, you know, you got to say McCoy, 217 yards, he was the star of the day. It was amazing. And in the first half, you thought the Lions were just going to, you know, sort of take care. Nick Foles could not get it going, but then Nick Foles – and DeSean Jackson were connecting, and then McCoy was just amazing. Amazing. 217 yards.
You know, he was the big – it's funny because everybody talked about Nick Foles and Michael Vick and who's better for that system. And it turns out that if Michael Vick were healthy, it really doesn't matter. I think that both of them are equally capable. It turns out that the star of stars is LeSean McCoy. In that, you know, not to take anything away from Nick Foles, because 19 touchdowns
right.
and no interceptions.
But in
is
Chip
fantastic.
Kelly's offense. And he finally threw an interception, which you predicted on Friday. He did throw an interception.
Yeah, look, it's unnatural in this day and age for a quarterback to throw 19 touchdowns. Defenses are just too good. But LeSean McCoy, I mean, what a year this guy's having. So, you know, he did his wind sprints. In training camp, and he's got himself in the best shape possible. This guy is a huge beneficiary of that offense that they instilled there in Philly. So
definitely.
Yeah, that game was crazy. The Pittsburgh. What talk to me about this Pittsburgh Miami game?
Well, listen, I got to tell you, the one thing I have to salute, because I was throwing some jabs during the game at Hank, you know, friendly stuff, but. Hank, you know, a friend and a caller to the show, is a Dolphins fan. And you know what? Even Hank didn't think his Dolphins would be as good as they've been this year, sort of like how you were with the Jets, and the Jets had a big win at home over the Raiders. But my Steelers, the season is officially over, and, you know, I'm even going to root for the Dolphins because I can't stand the Ravens. But it just looks like the Ravens having that tiebreaker. You know, the Dolphins have an easier schedule than the Ravens, but they'll probably, you know, pull out the scenario where the playoffs. So let's focus that. Before we go to the NFC, let's just stay with the AFC. So right now, I mean, after yesterday, Kansas City, you know, basically at 10-3, they're going to be the number two seed. I don't know if the Broncos will lose another game, you know, and they'll play the Chargers at home on Thursday. So you know that Kansas City will be the 5 seed. Well, the 6 seed, you've got the Chargers at 6-7. And then you still have got Tennessee. Well, actually, they're gone, losing to Denver 5-8. So then you have the Ravens, who are in the driver's seat at 7-6, and then the Dolphins, who are sort of, you know, right there at 7-6. The question is, between the two of them, I don't think the Jets at 6-7 realistically have a chance to play the Panthers this week. That's going to be rough. Tell me, Ravens, Dolphins, even looking at the schedule, three games left, what do you think is going to happen?
So the key is you got to go to the schedule. So the Ravens play at Detroit, home for New England without Gronk now, and then at Cincinnati.
They could go 0-3.
So they play Monday Night Football at Detroit, Cincinnati.
I think Detroit will take them now.
Really? You think Detroit?
I think Detroit. I think Detroit is not. They're not done yet, Detroit, and they put up a good fight against the Eagles, and they still can win their division. So they're rooting for the Cowboys tonight, and the Lions at home. They're pretty tough, and Reggie Bush will probably be okay. He missed the game. You know, he was sort of hurt going into the week. Then before and in practice, you know, before the game, warm-ups, he slips and falls. So they don't play him. But Joique Bell and, you know, I think the Ravens could go in three. Well, who are the Dolphins playing?
So the Dolphins play Grudge Match City. They play New England this Sunday without Gronk.
Mm-hmm.
They play at Buffalo.
In Miami. Then at
and
Buffalo.
Then, so Miami plays home to New England, at Buffalo, and then home to the Jets. So they have one cold weather game, but they're all three AFC East games. Now, keep in mind that in week four, the Baltimore Ravens beat the Dolphins. So the Dolphins have to win outright, right? The Dolphins have to win that. If it's a
Ravens
head-to-head
have the tiebreaker
matchup, the Ravens have the tiebreaker, right?
Well, look, so, the Patriots, they very easily Dolphins can go 2-1, right? And since they're already with the same record, I could see the Ravens going 1-2. It's gonna, you know what it's going to come down to? Week 17, can the Ravens beat the Bengals, and can the Jets upset the Dolphins for the Ravens to get in? Wow, it's gonna be great. So let's go over to the NFC. We got to say this: big win for Coach Marvin Lewis and the Bengals, taking care of the Colts. The Colts, you don't want to say that they're going to be one and done in the playoffs, but even though they'll have their home game, they're probably going to play the Chiefs. In that 4-5 matchup, you know, the division winner against the wild card, that's going to be
Chiefs
the question.
The Chiefs are beatable, though. You know what? Both of those teams are beatable. That's probably going to be the weakest matchup in all the playoffs, just because the Chiefs, to me, especially if they're not 100% healthy, look, Jamal Charles could run crazy and they could do well. But both of those teams really look to me like they could be one and done, but because they're playing each other, they're both
yeah.
one and done.
And give Alex Smith credit.
He's
been more than a game manager and pretty explosive this year. He didn't have a big game yesterday, but he didn't need to. You know, they were running all over him. But listen, you gave him props early on in a preview show, but the Bengals are for real. And 9-4, and with the Patriots now losing Gronk, you got to believe the Bengals have a legitimate shot to be playing the Broncos for the chance to go to the Super Bowl at MetLife Stadium. The AFC is going to be. And then so let's go to Sunday night, and we'll talk about the NFC. We both predicted it. It happened. Marcus Colston went off. Drew Brees. They're back home. I don't look at that as a bad loss to the Panthers, because I want to see what the Panthers do in 2 weeks. Because they play the Jets, and then they're back at home against the Saints. That's the game that I want to see. So right now in the NFC picture, you know, the Lions are still 7-6. We'll see if the Bears can tie them if they win tonight. And then the Packers are still alive, even though they're playing the Cowboys next week, and they might still not have Aaron Rodgers. You know, we'll know more Tuesday when he practices, and then Wednesday the doctors will check him out or whatever. But at 6-6-1, they're still alive, and they might be able to pull off some, you know, sneaky last spot to get in, just with all that jumble with the wild card. If they ever did win out and go 9-6-1,
though, I think everybody. So I put the Cowboys in the same boat. So Cowboys and Eagles are in the same boat as Detroit, Chicago, and Green Bay. Nobody
Losers
here is getting a wild card, right? So the only way you're in is you win the division, because you got to figure San Francisco and Carolina are the two wild cards. That's pretty much a given, I think. Given that, or Arizona is the only other team that has a chance, right?
Right. With their they play the Niners and the Seahawks, Arizona.
Right. So they
so
control
give them
their
that,
destiny.
They, yeah, they do. They definitely do.
But here's the
and
thing.
And they had
so
a big win.
Yep, they sure did. Your Arizona, you know, they're the quietest 8-5
Dark
team
horse.
In the league.
Yeah,
right? Don't
great
tell anybody.
But you know what? Again, Bruce Arians, the coach of the year, he's a great – I got to tell you, Ray, I knew once they hired him and he finally got his shot at, what, 60-something years old, getting his first head coaching job, well, he deserves it, and he's proving – you know, he's proving that he can run a football team. So let's look at the Niners, right? They beat the Seahawks. You know, Richard Sherman's like, hey, if it wasn't for some bad calls, we wouldn't have lost the game. Give the Seahawks credit. They played them pretty even and tough on the road. You know, the Niners drive down, get the field goal, and win 19-17. What are you thinking? Do you feel confident? I mean, look, Vernon Davis scored, you know, what, a fifth touchdown in a row for five games in a row. He's got a touchdown or something. Do you feel like now the Niners are sort of on this upswing, that they're going to definitely lock down this final spot? I think head-to-head they'll beat the Cardinals.
I think they will. I think they'll be, you know, it'll be between them and Carolina. So they'll either be 5 or 6, and ultimately they'll beat whoever they play in the first round, you know, because if they're 5, they'll play 4, which will be the probably Philly-Dallas. Or, you know, the other way around.
Could be the Lions.
It could be the Lions or Chicago.
This is a big game tonight, right? For potential even tiebreakers and seeding?
Yeah, but I think not only are the Niners doing building momentum, I would say right now they're fine and they'll be a favorite on the road, you know, in the first week of the playoffs. So to me, for the Niners, it's all about getting Frank Gore's pep in his step a little bit, and then getting Kaepernick right. I mean, I feel as if he doesn't remember who he is. It's like he's a cornerback that got toasted on a 90-yard, you know, bomb, and he needs to just put that aside and put the first 12, 13 games of the season aside and just say, I'm Colin Kaepernick. I'm the man. I am the prototypical new school quarterback. And between his arm and his legs, this guy has so many ways to beat you. And if Michael Crabtree can stay healthy and can give them that third receiving option with Bolden and Davis, and Frank Gore, you know, has just a little bit more in the tank, like he had for that 50,
put up 110
whatever.
Yesterday. That was pretty tough.
Yeah, it was all on
110
one run,
on
though.
17 carries.
But it was all on one run, though. He had 57 yards in one run.
but
ultimately, I think the Niners are fine. I actually still don't have a problem thinking that they could win 3 road games, just like the Packers did on the way to the Super Bowl, and just like
the Giants
did on the way to the Super Bowl. And even your Pittsburgh Steelers back
in
the day, Jerome Bettis. So I think the Niners are fine. I think they just
yesterday's
need to
game
get a little momentum.
I think yesterday's game told me more about Seattle. Now, they're not going to have to probably play on the road, except for in the championship and the Super Bowl at MetLife Stadium. But I think that was an impressive loss if you ever, you know, can be happy about a loss, because the Seahawks, they were like, you know, nobody's blowing us out. You know, Lynch, he would have liked more than 72 yards. He only averaged 3.6 yards a carry, but he got you a touchdown. And I think you know, it's hard, right? Russell Wilson, he's throwing to Luke Wilson, who got a touchdown, Golden Tate and Baldwin. You know, you really wish that if they could get Percy Harvin healthy for the playoffs, which is what I think they're trying to do, that could be fascinating. And he does like, you know, Zach Miller, and then you got Turbin out of the backfield. So that was an impressive loss. This is the question I want to ask you, because we spoke about it off air. And, you know, a sort of interconference game. But if you're a Giant fan right now, you got to be pretty disappointed. I mean, you go to San Diego and, you know, they're not going to make the playoffs, but you would think the Giants would try to finish out their season strong. And they got destroyed, 37-14. And so what's going to happen with Coughlin? you know, maybe is it time? Do you get rid of the defensive coordinator, Hakeem Nicks? What's going on with the Giants? What do you think they're going to do at the end of the season?
So Giants are a pretty steady franchise. They don't do anything knee-jerk, so probably not a lot.
Right.
And even if you started the season with this same roster, you probably would project out to be a 9-17 potentially next year. So, you know, but that's Eli, right? The Giants are a microcosm of, or a macro, you know, representation of Eli Manning. You know, he frustrates you.
20
you
interceptions.
Pull your hair out. He leads the league
him
in turnovers since he's been in the league. And yet he has two Super Bowls and two Super Bowl MVPs. So this is what you sign up for with Eli Manning, right? At the beginning of his career, I knocked him, and I kept saying if his last name wasn't Manning, he wouldn't get this love. And to some degree, I still believe that. But this guy is you know, he brought you two Super Bowls, so you live with him. And Coughlin is a different story. I think they're not losing because of Coughlin, but as with anything in professional sports, just like your boy Bill Cowher in Pittsburgh and other people, Denny Green.
You start to tune out the voice.
Message, yeah, people start to tune you out. So I think it would be in their best interest for Jerry Reese to start looking for a new young head coach.
What about
a
young, yeah. Could you see a David Shaw there or a Kevin Sumlin or even
Shaw,
a Jay Gruden?
Shaw told us that he doesn't want to leave, and we take him at his word for that, although, you know, you never know. Kevin Sumlin, yeah, why not? A college guy. Look,
you know, there's a lot of rumors for Shaw to the Texans, and I think that, you know, the owner's talking about he wants a veteran coach like a Shanahan or a Lovie Smith, but if you could ever get Shaw to leave Stanford.
The one good thing about David Shaw is you can hedge a little bit because, A, he has pro coaching experience, like he was talking about how he was scared to be wrong in front of Al Davis. So if you haven't heard, go to our David Shaw episode. And his father was an NFL player. So he's not quite the, you know, college-only guy, right? So
he's
so
not green.
A little
he's
bit
not,
safer
he's not
to
new
get
to
him.
This.
Right.
Yeah. It's going to be fascinating to see how it plays out. And then if and when, and it's probably just a matter of the end of the season when they fire Shanahan in Washington. It's a tough job because of the owner, but it's also a great historical franchise. And you've got a quarterback and a running back in place. You need to fix the defense, another receiver, offensive line. They have no first-round pick, but I don't think the Redskins are too far away. So let's talk about it because it's almost over. Let's talk about your Cowboys at the Bears. This game is huge for both teams. We sort of looked at the NFC playoffs. We told you about the standings. I got to be honest with you. I think McCown will be fine, and I think this game is going to be a yo-yo, light them up. Cowboys 7-5, Bears 6-6. The benefit, Bears are at home, and 4-2 at home. The crowd will be rocking. They honor Ditka tonight, retire his jersey, a great tight end who played for these franchises, you know, with the Cowboys and, you know, the manager was a head coach for the Bears, got the Super Bowl. So this is a perfect night to honor Mike Ditka. Yeah. And I got to wonder.
Coming. Why is we doing this?
Yeah, long time coming. Shouldn't have taken this long. But with the Cowboys being at 2-4 on the road, I wonder if this might be the night where the Cowboys just don't do what they need to do. But you know what? I'm going to go with your boys. I think that for some reason, DeMarco Murray can put up a buck 25. Romo, you know, although he might throw a pick or two, he might do enough to keep them going. And I could see Dez Bryant chewing up this secondary. And so in an exciting game, I'm going to go with the Cowboys over the Bears, 27-24. How about them Cowboys?
How about them Cowboys? So this is the team that I predicted every other week type of team, you know, an 8-8, 9-17, win one, lose one, win one, lose one. So they should lose this game because it's cold, it's outdoors, it's Monday night, they don't win in
December.
It's December. Romo's not clutch.
Romo's not in December yet. But
so having said all of that, I just think something's missing from the Chicago team, and I think that their quarterback going down, Jay Cutler going down, hurt them. Even though McCown has been moving the ball, he hasn't been delivering in the red zone, right? So I have a feeling, even Morris Claiborne's out, though, which means that those two monsters in Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffery are going to be hard to guard. But shout out to Hard to Guard Radio. But I think the Cowboys have a little something this year, and maybe they don't win a championship, but I do think that they've been clutch in fourth quarters. They've been delivering the goods. They were played Denver pretty tight. So they did get blown out by the Saints. But other than that, they've played in most of their games. So I think I agree with you. I'd like the Cowboys to squeak one out in the new and improved Soldier Field. So I'd like the Cowboys to win a very close game, 24-23.
And then Thursday Night Football, Broncos, probably without Wes Welker. I think they rely on Julius Thomas, Demaryius Thomas, and Tammy. Eric Decker could go off. I think Phillip Rivers will light up Denver, and I think an exciting game, probably 34-28, Broncos, Thursday Night Football, beat the Chargers in Vesco Field, but mile high for us.
So I think the Broncos blow out the Chargers. I think it'll be too cold for the Chargers. The Chargers coming from San Diego, the old Jack Murphy. They're going to be coming off the plane, you know, looking for the heaters. No, I'm not dissing Phillip Rivers, but at 6-7, it's funny because they really need this game to have any chance. Keenan Allen got hurt but came back, luckily for them. So I really like this kid, Keenan Allen, by the way. Next year, if you're drafting,
Rookie
this guy should be a top 10 pick. He's the Alshon Jeffrey next year that
they
predicted, you know. So, but I do think eventually the Broncos are just too tough. I think the Broncos put up 40, and they win this game 42-30.
Oof. Okay. What did you think about Peyton Manning when he sort of like shove it about my cold weather record? Kind of funny to me, but at the same time, it's like it's not the cold weather. It's the wind where Manning has an issue. And I think it's still going to be in play. Yeah, he beat the Tennessee Titans, but Manning shouldn't be like, you know, tooting his horn and bragging about it. He's still got to prove himself. And, you know, still win in the playoffs. Look, Brady has – one thing you got to say about Belichick, right, and Brady, I thought the Browns could play good yesterday and give him a good game, maybe even almost upset him, and they almost did. But what Brady did in coming back in such a little time and just this whole season, he has done more with less, you know, just like Cam does, just like Allen Iverson did, and, you know, we talk about it, we're going to make a segment out of it, doing more with less. Well, Tom Brady and Belichick have done more with less this year. And, again, you just don't know. Brady can't be stopped and could also make it back to the Super Bowl. But maybe it's the Bengals' turn.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun.
I think Peyton Manning will be fine. I think now that Denver is his home field, there's no, you know, we play in a dome and once in a while we visit the Patriots for the AFC Championship. I think Denver's his home. Denver's where he plays. They practice outdoors. They play at Mile High. So Denver is – Peyton will be fine. I think they'll win and lose based on scheme, based on execution, and not based on, you know, Peyton can't play well in the cold. I think Peyton is fine. They'll be fine. And, you know, to me, I see them playing in New Jersey for the Super Bowl in February.
Oof. Well, look,
especially
hey,
with
another...
Gronk going down, especially with Gronk
yeah,
going out
that's...
of ACL and the Patriots take a big step back.
I hope that guy comes back healthy, man. You know, with the whole thing of Aaron Hernandez, I'm not a Patriot fan, but I like to see teams lose on the field, not because of injuries or, you know, foolishness. You want to see teams at their best, and I think tonight will be a good game. So let's see what happens with the Cowboys and the Bears. And hopefully Wes Welker, chances are we won't see him on Thursday with a concussion, but you'll get a great game on Thursday as well. So great show. We got a lot to look out for this week, you know, different games. You know, you got the Wednesday night ESPN special with the Mavericks, a tough team, you know, ahead of the Warriors for the playoffs already. And then the Bulls who are fading fast against the Knicks. So that should be fun to look forward to. And we'll see you on Friday, man.
Yeah,
you know?
We had a great time talking sports with friends, and talking some betting lines. That was a new caller.
Yeah,
we,
man. Hey, listen,
we never got into
we,
the lines,
you know,
but we're versatile like
well,
that.
And,
you got something to talk about? Call us. We're happy to talk to you.
You're right about that. And speaking of the spread, young William Beeman is still in first place, 92-point-something right percent of the time. He had 8 right this week in the pigskin pick'em for Ray and Tay. And, hey, man, I got to send a shout-out. Keep praying for my mom, Cheryl Taylor. She's still in the hospital, and hopefully we'll, you know, get her to rehab and get her home soon. So send out the prayers. Continued happy holidays to everybody, and we'll see you on Friday.
Yeah, have a great sports week. We're out.
Ray and Tay. Peace.